Would you turn with me to the second chapter of Acts? Just a few scriptures at the end of the chapter that I, Lord, has impressed upon me this morning. For context, we know this, familiar with the second chapter of Acts very much, and this is the right after the Pentecost, right after the Holy Spirit came down on those 120, and the church was born, where we witnessed in the scriptures it describes the birth of the new church in this chapter, and how it came about. And the aftermath is what I want to dwell on here, and beginning with verse 41, you'll read with me to the end of the chapter. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them all to men in every man, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from the house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And I want to stop the reading right there. This, to me, describes the Pentecostal church. And when I say Pentecostal, I want to be clear that we understand what we're talking about here. I'm not talking about a denomination. There's prominent churches, organizations that have their bylaws and their hierarchy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what the Word of God describes. This was the church that was born on the day of Pentecost, a Pentecostal church. I would ask us, are we a Pentecostal church? And my answer would be, we're striving to be that Pentecostal church. We're striving to be what God called us to be. And I find in these scriptures four marks of a healthy Pentecostal church. And the Holy Spirit is just encouraging us this morning to exercise and be what God called us to be. Praise God. In this 42nd verse, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines. In the NASB, it says continually devoting themselves. In the King James, it said continued steadfast, as we read. It's standing ready in constant attendance is the description or the definition. It's not haphazard, but deliberate and constant devotion. And one of the marks of a healthy church was a continual devotion to instruction, or learning the scriptures, understanding the Word of God. Otherwise, we can become wishy-washy. That is the problem with the church world at large. They don't know the Word. And all the charlatans and all those that preach false doctrines, they're caught up. They're fooled because they don't know the Word. What does the Word say? When we preach the Word, I want you to challenge us and say, is that, what does the Word say? Am I preaching what the Word says? Because that's what's important. I don't want to lead you astray. I don't want to preach some other doctrine. I want to preach the pure Word of God. Praise God. It's the truth. You shall know the truth, and what the truth shall set you free. Praise God. It's the truth, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Otherwise, we can drift into thinking with emotions. Our human reason. We find that often. Some folks say, well, I think. Well, no, it's not what we think. What does the Word say? What does the Holy Spirit confirm to us? It's not our experiences. It's not church tradition. Well, that's not our tradition. Well, sometimes we need to get away from our tradition if it's holding us back from serving and following the word, praise God. We can get caught up in tradition. We can look at our legacy and say, oh my, we've been here 100 plus years. That's wonderful. Well, is it? It certainly is good, that's for sure, but are we progressing? Are we where we should be? Having this past witness, having this cloud of witnesses that we have seen, having heard the truth of God and the purity of the word, are we where we should be? And the Holy Spirit is challenging us and challenging me and say, oh, you got to get deeper. You got to get stronger, praise God. We can rely on other ideas and dreams and visions. And some folks, unfortunately, think there is no absolute truth. It's your truth, it's my truth. No, this is the truth. Amen. The word is the truth, praise God. And you can now, well, brother, I don't receive that. It doesn't matter if you receive it or not. That's the truth, praise God. That's the word, praise the Lord. And it says, Paul wrote to Timothy, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, the Jews. Paul wrote to Titus, though whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And people have a natural tendency sometimes to listen to false teachers. It talks about in Timothy about having itching ears, going away from the truth. Timothy, Paul writes that for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There is pressure by the enemy to not preach so strict, to not preach the whole word of God, to kind of dwell on the parts that are easy, the love and grace and mercy. And we shouldn't shy away from those things either. But if we're going to preach the whole word of God, at some point in time, someone is going to get offended. And there's a lot of pressure, but you know, on preachers, we want them to come back next Sunday morning. We don't want them to say, well, you know, your preaching makes me not want to come back. Your preaching, it's kind of harsh. It's kind of strong. It's kind of a, you know, there's no gray area. Well, there's no gray area in the Lord. It is solid. Praise God. God speaks plainly to us. And people get brainwashed. And they're looking for truth. And they're given pablum. They're given, you know, the sweet gospel that, you know, it doesn't convict the soul. Couples can live together, go to church, and feel okay. They can do things in the world. They can partake of worldly things and participate in all kind of things and go to church and feel just okay. Something's wrong. The Holy Ghost isn't moving in that church. The Word of God isn't coming forth, praise God, because He will convict. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit will convict. It's just going to happen. And people don't like to be convicted. Don't like it. It goes against that pride. No, don't tell me I'm wrong. Don't tell me I messed up. Don't tell me that. I'm trying. Oh, Lord, would you help us this morning? A desire for the teachings. They didn't have in those days, they didn't have the King James Bible written out. They didn't have the NIV, the ESV, or whatever the many different versions. They had the teachings of the apostles, but they were hungry for the word. They wanted to hear the gospel, the good news, praise God, because it was something that set them free, praise the Lord. Oh Lord, help us. What do we need to do in this day and age? We need to read the word, amen? We need to be into the word. You shouldn't just read the word when you're in church and you hear the preaching and you read the scriptures. You should take it up at home. You should be in the Sunday school. That room ought to be packed every Sunday morning. Those classrooms ought to be full. You know, I'm going to ask Brother Dave. You know, I know the reason some folks can't get here at 9 o'clock. It may run a little late. I understand that. It happens. And I don't want to walk in late. Nobody likes to walk in late. I don't want to walk in late either, you know. And especially, everybody has a tendency to sit in the back. So the only chairs that are open is in the front. So you don't only have to walk in, you got to go all the way to the front to find a chair. Well, I'll just sit in the sanctuary. Amen? I'm going to ask Brother Dave, would you set up two rows back there and put reserved on them that you can't sit in there if you get here before 9:05? So those chairs are going to be open. So if you come in a little late, come on back. Well, it's 9:20. Well, get 20 minutes. Get 20 minutes. It'll help. The Holy Spirit will give you something. The Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. You're going to hear the Word of God. You're going to hear comments. I'm amazed how beautiful the exchange has been with Brother Steve, Brother Dennis, even Brother Tom, that you know, there'll be comments from the audience that, you know, they'll bring out things that you, no one has thought about, that a different perspective, and it just enriches the class and the understanding that comes out of the Word of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord, help us. Come to the Bible class. Come to the Sunday schools. And do your own personal Bible study. Praise God. You got to know the Word. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. That's not what I'm saying. But know the Word. The Word brings comfort. The Lord will use the Word to answer you. You're going through some difficult situations. You're going through trials, going through troubles. You're looking for direction. You want the Holy Spirit to help you and strengthen you. Go to the Word of God and just say, Lord, as you pray before you do it, and say, Lord, would you open up the Scripture to me? Would you bring something to my heart? Amen. And lo and behold, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered, praise God. I heard that testimony, and I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered, praise God. Another mark of a healthy Pentecostal church is devotion to fellowship. And what does fellowship mean? Well, it's a summit, may mean a potluck dinner or some activity, and that's fine, that's okay. But the word in the Greek means having things in common, sharing, communion. It's devoted to fellowship. We should want to be with one another. Can I hear an amen to that? Shouldn't we want to be together? When there's an activity or there's something that, not only in the services, but in other things that happen, we do have a few activities that we have during the year, times when we get together. Should want to be together. Well, I don't like to go to the picnics. It's hot and the mosquitoes and I'm sweating and I don't like hot dogs. Oh, okay. Get over it for one day. Sacrifice. You're going to be there with your brothers and sisters. Someday we're going to be together in heaven. And we're not going to have a camp over here and a camp over there and these people don't come to this thing and these don't come to that thing. We're not going to have that. Fellowship. The Holy Spirit wants unity. The Holy Spirit cannot move without unity. The Holy Spirit is hindered without unity. Praise God. Unity of mind, of purpose, unity of praise, unity of love, of compassion, of faith, the unity of the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. Paul writes to Ephesians, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one body, one spirit, even as we are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul writes to Philippians, if there be any consolation of Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. The healthy church is in unity. The healthy church puts away the divisions and distractions. The healthy church prays together. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. See, we have a fellowship amongst Christians of like mind that the world doesn't understand. Somebody could come from another state, another country, but know Christ in spirit and in truth and come into this fellowship, and we will feel that communion. We will feel that unity. They're not strangers. We may not know their names, that's not the issue, but we know, praise God, they love the Lord, and that comes through, praise God. There's something that binds us together. There's something that flows through us all that unites us together in the body of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Fellowship among them, brethren. Oh, Lord, help us. I was reading this article, if I could quote it, an illustration about loneliness. Chuck Swindoll once described in an ad in a Kansas newspaper, which read, I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. Swindoll went on to say, sounds like a hoax, doesn't it? But the person was serious. Did anybody call? You bet. It wasn't long before this individual was receiving 10 to 20 calls a day. The pain of loneliness was so sharp that some were willing to try anything for half hour of companionship. 30% of Americans say they have experienced long periods of painful loneliness. Since 1970, the number of married people has increased by 19%, but the number of singles has increased by over 85%. 70% of Americans don't know their neighbors. Can we say amen to that? There's folks, if I would see them on the street, I wouldn't know they were my neighbors. Come in, close the garage door, never get out of the car, close the garage door, and you don't see them until the next morning when the car leaves. Many people know loneliness, but no one in the church should have that experience. Amen. And you know why? The fellowship. We promote that fellowship. We can talk to one another. Make opportunities to get together. Phone call, text, go out to lunch. Someone you haven't talked to, someone you don't know very well. Hey, brother, sister, you guys free for lunch? Can we go do something? Devoted to fellowship. You see how this church, they were hungry and God was blessing them. Oh, praise the Lord. You see, the church is a family. The family. We come together, we're not strangers. Well, some of us may not know each other all that well, and we have new members that come in from time to time, but it's a family, praise God, that we care one for another, praise the Lord. Another mark of a healthy Pentecostal church is devotion to worship. And here it talks about breaking bread, and that's referring a lot of times to communion. We celebrate the Holy Supper. I'm praying, Lord, give us a leading to do it in the near future. But we celebrate that, praise God. It's looking back at what Jesus did, Praise God. For us coming to the foot of the cross, where we are, and the future hope we have in Christ made it all possible. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, would you help us? And then the most, I think, important thing is he puts prayer in the 42nd verse. Breaking of bread and in prayers. 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 This to me is the strength of the church. No prayer, no power. No prayer, no power. It's that communion with God. It's that corporate prayer. It's coming together and calling on to God. I had this scripture before me, and I attended Ron's class this morning for a few moments for a little prayer meeting. And in the 11th chapter of Luke, you don't have to turn to it. And this is said, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, everyone that seeketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Who's speaking? Who's speaking those words? Who's speaking those words? Jesus. Jesus. The church ought to say, time out. If that's the case, we ought to come together in prayer. We want to see change. We want to see our family saved. We want to see healings. We want to see the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We want to see revival. What are we doing? It's done. Jesus tells us, ask, to seek, and knock. And everyone, praise the Lord, everyone will receive an answer. Oh, glory to God. And he'll give you the Holy Spirit. The gift. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us. We have prayer meetings twice a month on Saturday morning. Thank God we have a nice crowd, 18, 20 people plus or minus. Can I ask, where are the rest of you? If this word is true, if we need help, and we all need help, where are you? I know there's people with physical situations and kids, and I understand those are going to happen. Holy Spirit is trying to make us that Pentecostal church he wants us to be. Amen. What's going to help the church? Good wishes? Attending church services? That's good. Giving money to the church? That's good. What's going to help the church? What is going to transform the church? What is going to cause the church to grow deeper and stronger and more powerful? What is going to do it? The unloosening of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How? By prayer and supplication. Peter said, or Paul, is it Peter? Yes. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, I supplication to be lifted up for all men, raising holy hands. I'm going to ask you the inconvenient question are you? Shouldn't you be praying? Well, I pray at home. That's wonderful. But there was corporate prayer the Word of God describes. Holy Spirit baptism came with corporate prayer. Jesus said, tarry until you be endued. And that morning, 120 got baptized with the Holy Ghost. And a few days later, when Peter and John were scorned by the magistrates and the Pharisees and the Jews, and they released them and said, don't preach this name of Jesus. Stop it. What did they do? They went back to Jerusalem to a place where they were praying. They had a prayer meeting going on. And they prayed for boldness. And it said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And the place, the foundation shook. And when Peter was in prison, they were going to behead him the next morning. What was happening? The church had a prayer meeting. And they were praying for Peter to be delivered. Amen. And lo and behold, God sent an angel. His chains were loosed. He went back to the prayer meeting. The damsel opened the door and slammed it. It's got to be a spirit. I love that. Every time I read that, it just tickles me. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us. Many scriptures, pray without ceasing. Pray. Pray. With the example of Jesus, what did he do? He prayed. Many times alone. There's a time to come together and pray when we hear one another. And the prayers encourage each of us. Oh, praise the Lord. We've had some beautiful prayer meetings on Saturday morning. Sometimes the power of God has been so strong. And the prayer so anointed. Oh, my God, I'm good for 24 hours. I can't wait to get to service Sunday morning because the prayer meeting was so good on Saturday morning. What excuse are you going to give the Lord? Tell me. I'm not trying to be critical. But the Holy Spirit is just pressing me. What are you going to tell God? All I wanted to do is come for an hour, hour and a half and pray twice a month. Is that so hard? You don't want to be with your brothers and sisters praying? What is it? Do we want to see revival? Yes. Do we want to see change? Do we have children and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives that need saving? What are we going to do? Hope for the best. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. God, they're in your hands. Too bad. We're going to pray. We're going to get desperate before God and say, Lord, oh, Lord, would you save my husband? Would you save my wife? Would you heal my daughter? And somehow, in that transaction, somehow in that transaction between us and God, the Holy Spirit intervenes and those prayers like incense rise into the nostrils of God and God keeps them. And the Word of God says, in golden vials in heaven, praise God. And he pours it out on the earth, praise the Lord. He takes fire from the altar. You read in one of the scriptures, it says he takes fire from the altar and mixes it with the prayers and pours it back down. The Lord answers, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, would you help us? What does the church need? It needs power today. We don't need sermonettes. We don't need activities. There's nothing wrong with activities. I'm not preaching against activity. Those aren't going to change you. Those are avenues God could use to witness and talk to people. That's wonderful. But what we need is that experience one-on-one with the Lord, praise God, that comes through intense prayer with Jesus Christ. Paul or Jude writes, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Because why? He says, he goes on to say, some save with fear, some hating the garments spotted by the flesh, pulling them out of the fire. How are we going to do that? The Holy Spirit has to lead us. Holy Spirit has to give us direction. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Father, help us this morning. Continue to devotion, to worship. And that comes through prayer. Oh, Lord. Your giving is part of your worship. You realize that? Your attendance in the service is part of your worship. Your singing is part of your worship. Lord, give us a singing heart, a heart that just wants to praise God. These people were, I just sense in reading the scripture, they were so just in love with Christ that they found something. They were so lost, they had nothing. They found something that was real, something that touched them inside. It wasn't a momentary feel good, a high from, the team won the game and we're all celebrating and raising our hands and doing high fives. It wasn't that. It was something deeper within them that sustained them, praise God, that they did not deny their faith. They went about witnessing the good news of the gospel wherever they went because it was so deep inside of them. Oh, praise the Lord. And a continual devotion, the final mark, a continual devotion to evangelism. You know, we've given monies to various organizations. As you know, we have been buying Bibles through the Swaggart Ministries and sending them out various places, and that's good. I believe God wants more from us. I believe He wants more. I believe God, I feel that so strongly these last several months. God wants more from us. We don't have anyone called to be an evangelist yet, to go somewhere. But Lord, help us, give us avenues that we may help the worldwide effort to evangelize this gospel message. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And you know, a key part is a personal evangelism ourselves. We come in contact with family members that perhaps go to different churches. And I know we got to be careful. We don't want to insult or, offend anyone. Or we have family members that don't go anywhere. We have neighbors. Neighbors. And you know they don't go anywhere because you see their traffic patterns. You know, they don't, Sunday morning. I'm not trying to judge anyone. That's not the issue. We have coworkers that need Jesus. And what did God call us to? The Great Commission. He didn't say, get saved, get baptized with the Holy Ghost, and sit in church three times a week. He didn't say that. He called us to the Great Commission. Not to hide out. When these Peter and John came back after being threatened, they didn't pray, well, you know, fellas, we got to take this underground. We can't. We got to do it on the QT and that kind of thing. They said, give us more boldness to proclaim the gospel message Give us more boldness. When Israel, look at the Old Testament example. When Israel, when Joshua led Israel into the promised land, what did God say? He said, conquer the land. Don't hide out from the Hivites and Girgashites and the Canaanites. Don't find a place where they're not going to bother you. Conquer the land and clear them out. Types of sin. The kingdom of God, it says, suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That's the word. Oh, Lord, help. I say for myself, I'm saying to myself, Lord, help me to be more aggressive. I'm not in a way that's of carnalness, but a way that the Holy Spirit leads us. Holy Spirit, direct us. We've got something so good. So good. And we want to share it. Want to share it. All could come to the knowledge. Not willing. Peter writes, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That's our desire this morning. Oh, Lord, help us. Let me finish with the last few verses and I'm going to stop. Brother, sister, would you come forward? It says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Earlier scripture says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was working. The Holy Spirit was moving mightily. The people were united in love. Oh Lord, that's what we aspire to be. We aspire to be that Pentecostal church described in this book of Acts. Help us this morning. Holy Spirit is calling us. Lord, change our directory, our trajectory rather. Change it, oh God. We want to see growth. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about numbers. I don't want it to be perceived as, well, we got to grow the church. No, yeah, we got to grow. We want to see people come, but not for the numbers. That's not the issue. We want to see people come to the Lord. We want to see people experience the power of God and know Jesus as a personal Savior. Oh, praise God. We want a church that is spiritual. A church that is deep in the Word. Oh, Father, would you help us this morning? Would you help us? I pray the Holy Spirit deal with us this morning. We come to understand what God expects from us. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking very plainly. And I say, Lord, let me hear. Let me receive what you have. Praise God that your name would be glorified. May the Lord bless you this morning. May his name be praised. Do we have a song?